Stop. Stop. Will you stop, Dave? Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid. Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
Here we are. It's Friday night. You're on the Hour of Truth presented by Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Dave. It's 347-677-1835. 347-677-1835. Man, what a week. The Black Hawk helicopters are swirling around Clive Bundy's head. Sebelius resigns. We're going to chat about all that while we wait for tonight's exciting guest. Mike Moon's contacted me. He's tied up in a thing. He'll be a little later than usual getting along. Lloyd Sloan will be joining us in a bit. I think he had a deal going where they feed him, that kind of tends to tie Lloyd up for a bit, the getting fed part. And I'm sure he's bending some ears somewhere over the supper table. He'll be along in a bit. And we've got exciting things to talk to both of those guests about. Mike Moon has heard this week. Now, I looked at the calendar today, and I didn't see it. But on the 22nd, H.R. 476 is going to get a hearing in the Judiciary Committee. 476 is the article of impeachment drawn by Mike and presented, referred to the Judiciary Committee. It's going to get a hearing on the 22nd. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the impeachment process, it would be a hearing. It would be voted out of the committee, and then it would go to the House of Representatives floor. It would be debated and voted on the floor. We need to push this each step of the way. Mike's specific article of impeachment has to do with, and in my mind, it's the most serious, and I'm certainly not playing down either Marshall's article of impeachment 380 or Bratton's article of impeachment 923, which we'll talk about quickly in a moment. But Mike's article of impeachment strikes right at the heart of the sovereignty of the people and how the sovereignty of the state depends on the people. The people have control of the state, and that is the only way that our government works. The people, as you know, are sovereign. But they're sovereign through their state governments that they control directly. They control and own their state constitution. We've talked about this and talked about this in the state sovereignty series. They own and control their state constitution. They own and control their state houses. They own and control their entire state government. The federal government, they don't own and control, and they were never... It was never designed for them to own and control it. The federal constitution is a compact between the sovereign states. The state constitution is a contract between the state and the people. The people of the state of Missouri can change the constitution almost immediately, can change the state government almost immediately. We strive here to teach people how that all ties together, and to encourage people to insist that states get their sovereignty back. State sovereignty was lost during the New Deal, during the Progressive Era, and during the Reconstruction Era, particularly. Now, there's been some creep in the eras in between, but it stays my belief that the three amendments necessary to the United States Constitution, and amending the United States Constitution is necessary because state sovereignty was lost by amending the Constitution. The three constitutional amendments needed to regain state sovereignty and get the constitutional government back under control are repeal of the 17th Amendment, and we've talked about that at length, but briefly, the 17th Amendment is the amendment that changed the way senators are elected. We have proposed wording floating around for repeal of the 17th. If you'd like to talk about that, give us a call. Repeal the 16th Amendment. The 16th Amendment is the income tax. What does that have to do with state sovereignty? You say, well, it has everything to do with the amount of power the people and the states possess. If we switch to a state-collected consumption tax, then the states would control the collection of money for the federal government, and the people would be in control of the taxation process once again. And the third amendment that we need is one we're going to talk to Lloyd about when he gets along tonight, and that is the state repeal amendment. So, Mike's 476, the article of impeachment, dealt with the fact that the governor, after naming several Republicans to administrative positions, jerking them out of the House of Representatives and Senate, and after the natural causes that caused another couple of Republican legislators to leave, the governor is constitutionally required to call a special election, and he's not done so. Now, what that does is it leaves a little over 250,000 Missourians unrepresented completely in one house or the other. In the governor's mind, of course, it puts a serious crimp in the Republican supermajority, which hasn't worked, which supermajority has not worked in the favor of liberty in the first place. But in the governor's mind, it's about politics. Now, he has not called these elections. He has kept the Republican seats empty. And that is that borders on constitutional crisis in my mind. Briefly, though, Marshall's bill, H.R. 380, I believe, has to do with Nixon's executive order that said gay couples married in other states could file Missouri tax returns joint. I think the executive order is out of line. I think the whole kit and caboodle is a bunch of crap, quite frankly. I don't get involved in the gay, no gay fight at all. I don't care one way or the other. But Missouri has a real problem here. And that is that while the Missouri Constitution has a specific definition of marriage as being between a man and a woman, I don't have any problem with that. If that's what the people, if that's what the sovereign people of Missouri want for their sovereign state, I'm fine with that. I'll live with that. But at the same time, Missouri law requires specifically, if you filed a federal return, which gay married couples do, joint, you must file a joint Missouri return. So there's a bit of, why doesn't the legislature just change the law saying that that forces these people who are married legally, not a marriage recognized by the governing body of the state of Missouri, okay, I don't have a problem with that, so not a marriage recognized by the sovereign people of the state of Missouri, okay, I recognize that, but they are in fact legally married, they are legally filing a federal return that is joint, because the federal government does recognize gay marriage when it's performed in a state that recognizes gay marriage. And so you've put these people in a real bind because they now live and earn money in a state that requires them to file joint if they file a federal joint. So if we want to get serious about 380, chastising the governor for this executive order, then why isn't the legislature working hard to change the law that requires joint state filing if you have joint federal filing? If you want to get in on that discussion, 347-677-1835. And then in other exciting news, over on the other side of the Capitol, in the Senate, we have SCR 38. Lloyd's going to be along in a bit to talk about that with us. We've talked with Lloyd on many, many occasions about the state repeal amendment, the state powers amendment, the state the amendment that basically was fathered by Madison. Lloyd has done a lot of work on SRA in the last couple of years. Well, in the last many, many years, we've been involved with him here at the Hour of Truth for a couple of years now, and we've tried to stay on top of this. We've tried to work this as much as we can. I am totally enamored by this amendment and what it can do. I'm totally impressed and in awe sometimes at the amount of work Lloyd has done on this. And he's a smart man. We're going to have him along in a bit, and we're going to talk about SRA and what's going on. I put in a call and an email to Senator Lamping, the sponsor, over in the Senate. I'm yet to hear back from him. I sure hope we can get him on the show here. So if you have any pull with the sponsor of that bill, Senator Lamping, John Lamping, give him a call. If he's your guy, by all means, give him a call and drop him an email and tell him we'd like to hear from him on this. This is going to be either Mike or Lloyd, I suppose. Hello, caller. This is Dave. How are you? Hello, caller. This is Dave.
Oh, hello. How you doing?
You're live on the air. How you doing?
How you doing? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you for a second. I had to call my TV anyways. I just wanted to call in because I'm actually a first-time listener to your show. I just wanted to hear your outlook. Actually, just my opinion on just a couple of things about, state versus federal government, struggle, going on. Utah, and where I live at, they don't like the feds here. They've actually written open newspaper articles and editorials about the feds here and their presence. And I believe Montana has a law where they can the feds can be arrested. And it's definitely interesting to see this thing in Nevada too, you know, and all these militia troops going out and things like that. And all I can say is that, you know, to the American people, you know, because you see you push liberty, and liberty is definitely, to me, the most quintessential part of our culture. I mean, if you aren't a liberty-minded American, then I think you're not progressive, you know, because we have a lot of people saying, oh, you know, I talk to progressives all the time, because I'm actually a constitutional conservative, and I talk to progressives all the time, and they're always talking about progress and trying to make change. But I quote them a lot about what Kennedy says, because to me, he understood our foundations, you know. And I tell them, I said, you know, one of the greatest, you call liberal presidents of all time, says that you can't move forward without taking the foundations of.
You're cutting out. Is that you or me? Did you hit? Did...
Hold on one.
You're cutting out.
Hello, can you hear me now?
I heard you. I heard you start to quote Kennedy.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, you know, like just basically saying that, you know, I was saying that, you know, you cannot progress our country without taking our foundations with it. And I think foundations are based upon liberty and natural basic rights, because I feel like, and I think a lot of people feel like that the encroachment of these federal government taking our lands. Some people don't believe in Agenda 21, but it's, I mean, when you look at the amount of just taking public lands and then turning it in there to your personal ownership, it's kind of troubling, you know, the way our nation's going. So, you know, if I can just say anything, talk to anything about, I appreciate the fact that you're a liberty-minded person, and that we need more people like you. And I'm trying to get more young people involved, being 29 years old myself, and being liberty-minded. Ron Paul, you know, great man. These are people that we have to learn from, because we have things encroaching our liberty every day. Drones. I talk to people a lot about drones. Utah just made a nullifying bill for drones in our skies for our privacies. Things are real, America, and I just had to, you know, put that message to you and say that message out there today.
Thanks for the call. Look, yeah, I am very, very, very excited. I'm an old man, and I'm very excited about the number of people that I talk to, the number of events that I attend or speak at, where young 25, 27, 29-year-old people are really getting not only involved, not involved the way we saw young people getting involved in the progressive movement when I was young, and we were talking about people like George McGovern, and yes, even Kennedy, who by today's standards would be a conservative, but
yes,
but people, young people who really get it, who really understand the link between the sovereignty of the person and the sovereignty of the state, who really understand the limited role intended for the federal government and how the federal government has stepped over the boundaries, and who really understand and are excited about getting involved in ways to put the federal government back in its box so we can do what we can to save this thing for our children and grandchildren. I mean, I appreciate you, and I tell you, we count on you to carry this banner as you put us old folks in the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and I understand that, and that's why I teach, you know, whoever's willing to learn. You know, I have people, young people come to me at all ages, because me being 29, they be 21, 19, 18, you know, asking me about the questions. And I tell them questions are the greatest things in the world, and this is why. Because when you question our government, you are doing what our forefathers intended.
Absolutely.
And I tell them, don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever forget that when you question the government, our forefathers questioned their government. You know, I said right now, you know, truthfully, we've been a little too subservient, in my opinion. I'm not saying that we need a violent takeover of our government, but we should have fought back maybe 20 years ago at this point.
Absolutely.
We should have fought back after NAFTA and the way NAFTA destroyed our job market and destroyed the market for people like me. Being 29, I was a kid when NAFTA came. Of course, I was 9-10 years old. So when I became an adult and living in California before I moved to Utah, there were no jobs for me because NAFTA took all our industrial industry. These are the things that young people must realize, is that these free trade agreements are not free market agreements. And they need to stop letting progressives sell free trade as free market, because free trade is not free market. And we have to realize that we also have the Trans-Pacific Partnership threatening our sovereignty right now. Do you know anything about the Trans-Pacific Partnership?
I do. And you're absolutely right. I'll tell you right now, and I don't know how far you've gone, but there, Lisa Payne Nager does a show on Missouri Grassroots Radio on Wednesdays. And I catch it as often as I can myself. And there is a direct link between, that pact and Agenda 21, as you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is, and I tell people that also the trade upon our sovereignty. I mean, the people do not realize this trade, how powerful this trade agreement is. And I go, well, first of all, let's just take it like this: if I want to sue a company that maybe gave me bad chicken or gave me bad overseas, I said, because Obama, country that imports things to our country, must on our food or China or things like that, if you really pay attention. Well, if I want to sue that company, if they're not American based, then that company has an immunity and can take sovereignty over our courts, where I can't sue. Now, that's unconstitutional. That is unconstitutional within itself, for me not to be able to question the food. We won't even mention how the Trans-Pacific Partnership lets the FDA ship our food over to China to be clean and then ship it back in horrible conditions.
Yep.
You know, these are the things that I believe in. I mean, I'm actually the youth coordinator and Facebook page manager for the Constitution Party of Utah, and these are the things that I'm trying to teach and make people realize, is that the Eric Holder talking about bracelets for our guns. I mean, really, we have to wake up now.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call. Look, here in Missouri, just for your information, here in Missouri, we have recently passed through the Senate. It's going to pass through the House this week. The governor's going to veto it in time to get it back to the House and Senate for a veto override, but a bill much like Montana's that insists the state protect its citizens from any Second Amendment infringement up to and including the misdemeanor arrest of any federal agent who tries to enforce those laws on a Missouri citizen. So we're joining the group in recognizing that until states regain their sovereignty, until we use the states to protect their own citizens from the federal government, and I'm glad to see the administrative government of Nevada now coming to the aid of, coming in defense of old Clive Bundy out there.
Yeah, the Bundy. Mm-hmm.
Right. So thanks for the call.
Thank you.
We appreciate you listening, and we appreciate everything you're doing out there. Have a great night.
Okay,
what's your name?
Thank you.
What's your name, Utah?
My name is Carice.
Carice, okay. Well, you call back sometime. Mm-hmm. We'll be glad to talk to you. Let us know how things are going in Utah once in a while.
All right.
Okay, that was a good call. Man, I am so excited about young people who are interested in getting interested and in getting more people interested and in teaching other young people about how this thing is going. I am optimistic. I am cautiously optimistic that things are going to get better because of the number of young people I'm talking to nowadays who finally get it. There was a time when you came away from talking to young people and you just shook your head and thought that that the future was so dull you needed one of those miner's caps with a little lamp on the top of it just to be able to struggle on anymore. But America is starting to wake up, and if Barack Obama, Sebelius, Holder et al. Have done anything good for us, it is going to be that they haven't done anything to educate but they have awakened a whole new generation of people who say, wait a second, this is not the America my grandpa and great-grandpa talked about. This is not the America that I deserve, that my children deserve. This country that sucks up 50% of everything that I make and gives me back nothing is not what I wanted. 347-677-1835. We're waiting for our guests, Mike Moon and Lloyd Sloan. We expect them along in a bit. They've both let me know that they're going to be a little bit late. They're both engaged in other worthwhile events, certainly more worthwhile than sitting here talking to me. Holler out to my good friend Adam. How you doing there, Adam? 347-677-1835. So, anyway, where we were before that last caller is SCR 38, the Senate bill sponsored by John Lamping that is a petition amendment call. I tell you what, I am fast evolving to this petition amendment call method of doing things. I'm going to take another trip up to Jeff City here in a couple of weeks and make some contacts myself and try to get this Repeal 17 thing moving on something in this direction. I trust the convention of the states. So I didn't want to start that off by saying the words don't trust, but I don't trust this process to come to fruition in the near enough future for us to get some rapid movement, as rapid even as we need. And I'm not talking about as rapid as we want. I'm talking about as rapidly moving as we need. We've got to get something moving here quickly. I think this petition process has the possibilities of getting things moving. As we've discussed with Keith Carmichael, as we've discussed with Lloyd Sloan, as we've discussed with Mike Moon, as we've discussed with Ron Calzone, as we've discussed with almost anybody we've discussed this with in the past, there's never been a convention of the states because any time we've gotten close to that, the Congress has blinked. Now, I don't know. Lloyd believes that this petition drive, and here's the way this works. You draft an amendment to the Constitution. In this case, in the case of what we're talking about tonight, in the case of Missouri's SCR 38, you say, we want this constitutional amendment. And it is the state repeal amendment. If you're not familiar with the state repeal amendment, I want you to be, but I don't want to, for the listeners who've always hung on, I don't want to bore them. So if you want a little bit more information about the state repeal amendment, if you want to discuss the state repeal amendment, we're 347-677-1835, and we will go into that. I'm going to assume, unless I hear from someone, that you know what we're talking about. So SCR 38 is the state repeal amendment. So it states the state repeal amendment, and then it says, we want you up there in the federal legislature to pass this amendment. And then it, SCR 38, edicts that a copy of this resolution, when passed, will go out to the legislature of the other 50 states, and we will ask them to join us. And a copy of SCR 38 goes to the two Missouri senators and the Missouri representatives, and we ask them to move this amendment. And then we put, finally, in SCR 38, the federal government on notice that if 34 states pass such a petition, and the Congress has failed to act by that point, then we will have a constitutional convention for the purpose of passing this amendment. Now, I don't fool myself. I hope you don't fool yourself that if it comes to that, Lloyd doesn't believe it'll come to that. He thinks the Congress will blink. He thinks that that if we get 30, 31, 32 states to sign on to SRA, and I'm excitedly believing that we can, in the next couple of years, that Congress will blink. I don't think something of this magnitude, I think that the United States Congress, the United States Senate and House of Representatives, I don't think they're going to back down on something of this magnitude. We are talking about stripping them of virtually unlimited power. We are talking about returning solidly in one fell swoop a ton of sovereignty back to the states. I think this could go to a convention. Now, I'm not fooling myself any more than I hope you are fooling yourself with this whole limited convention thing, that if this goes to a convention, the only thing talked about there would be the amendment in the petition. It would not be. There is no way to limit these conventions. To say you can is to say you don't believe in the sovereignty of states and the sovereignty of people via their state. To do so says, I mean, so we have this discussion, and the people who are calling for a convention say, well, if you don't like the idea of a convention, then you are being disrespectful to the founders. You don't believe in the principles of the founding fathers. And I say right back to you, I believe in the principles of the founding fathers. I want this convention. But if you tell me that you can have this convention and you can say to people that we're going to have this convention, but you can only talk about this and you can only talk about that, then you don't believe in the principles of the founding fathers, and you don't believe in what, and you are being disrespectful to everything the founding fathers stood for, because you don't get to call a group of sovereign people represented by a group of sovereign states together and then single-handedly dictate to them what they can and cannot propose in the way of amending the Constitution owned by the sovereign states. So, given that, I reiterate one more time, bring it on. I ain't scared of it. I have this question. I have this question for you. If you are listening tonight, and if you are in this mind frame that we need not be afraid of this convention, We need to go full throttle ahead with this convention as long as we understand that we can control the convention to limiting the power of the federal government and fiscal constraint. If we cannot get those limitations in there, are you still in favor of a convention of states? Let's just assume for a moment that we can't get those limitations imposed. Uh-huh. Are you still in favor of a convention of states? Because if you're not, what you're telling people is, I'm in favor of a convention of states as long as I am the sovereign. I'm in favor of a convention of states as long as I'm in charge and you don't have anything to say about it. So those are the things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Moon's HCR 476, the impeachment articles. We're going to talk about HCR 41, the call for convention of the states, currently still residing in general laws. We're going to call everyone to action on getting those things moving. And then we're going to talk about Lloyd Sloan and Senator Lamping's SCR 38. When we get back from break, we'll be joined in the studio by our guests, Mike Moon and Lloyd Sloan.
For 7 years, I dwelt in the loose palace of exile, playing strange games with the girls of the island. Now I have come again to the land of the fair and the strong and the wise. Brothers and sisters of the pale forest, children of night, who among you will run with the hunt? Now night arrives with her purple legion. Retire now to your tents and to your dreams. Tomorrow we enter the town of my birth. I want to be ready.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for grass fire alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
Come springtime, so let me hear you say, my love, I'm gonna stand my ground. They rise to me, I'll blow them down.
Is the fact 4771 835 3476771835. We're still waiting for Mike and Lloyd. They're both tied up in events. I have gotten messages from both of them that they do intend to be along. Please hang on, and until then, we're going to go back and review. I've had some more interesting discussions this week from, I don't know, I don't know where the breakdown occurs in liberty-minded people who don't understand the principle of state supremacy, I guess, is a rule I'm going to use, because I guess when you use the word state sovereignty, people who really aren't as educated as you listeners get this feeling of a king or you know, some kind of ruler. Well, the fact of the matter is that while sovereignty does, indicate the level at which rulemaking applies, the entire government of, by, and for the people is representative in this country, in the way this country was designed anyway, at a very complex level. I mean, at a complexity that is both hard to wrap your head around, but so easy to understand if you understand what sovereignty is all about. So what we run into is all of these people who say, well, this is not within the power of the government. This is not a function of the government. This is not and quite frankly, there is only one government, one level of government in this country whose authority is almost concretely defined. And that is the federal government. In a compact between the states. Now, that does not detract, you know, the sovereignty of the state does not detract from the sovereignty of the individual. Because, and this is so important to understand, because the state of Missouri is the people of Missouri. See, the Constitution, the very laws, statutes of the state of Missouri are owned by the people of Missouri in a compact that the people, you and me and your next door neighbor and the guy down the street from you, the person you agree with 100% of the time, and the person you disagree with 100% of the time, we've entered a contract, and we wrote that down in the Constitution of the State of Missouri. We elect representatives to the State House of Missouri, and this is imperative. This is an imperative to the understanding of this. Okay. This is why here on this state sovereignty show, and for the time being, we concentrate on the Missouri House of Representatives, because this is the one level where you have control. Okay? A Missouri House district is small. The representation is probably as close as you can get to direct from you to the State House. And when I say as close as you can get to direct, I reiterate something that I've said night after night after night here, and that is you and three or four like-minded people working hard on 5 or 6 Saturday afternoons between now and November can hit 3 or 4 times every residence, every business in your representative district. I mean, you and 5 liberty-minded people can change your representative, or can keep your good representative, can be, I don't want to say single-handedly, because now we've got 5 of you involved, don't we? But don't you see that this is the representative in your government who you meet at the grocery store, you know, who you say hi to at the library, who knows you by name if you're any kind of patriot, and who you know by name, you know, who knows your likes and dislikes, who recognizes you when you meet. That is the level of representation. When we finally get a handle on that, and it won't, you know, yeah, we don't need it. We don't need an Article 5 convention. We just need to educate voters. No, we need to do both, okay? And that's why we're here. When we get a handle on that, when we get a handle on the State House of Representatives, when we get a handle on getting people to understand that State House of Representatives, that is where you own the government. Right there. And when I say own the government, I mean you. You get to decide. When we get people awakened to that, and we get people out there canvassing their neighborhoods at a small enough unit that 3 or 4 people on some Saturday afternoons can determine representation in Jefferson City, when we get that awakening going on, then we'll move on to the state Senate, and we'll widen the area a little bit. But at the same time, let's work on making all of that matter, because none of it matters, quite frankly. None of it matters. We need to do it. We need to do it. We need to get people excited. These are the things you need to be talking to your young people about. These are the things you need to be talking to your church groups about. These are the things you need to be talking to your political action committees, to your activist groups about. This idea that you own the Missouri House of Representatives, you know, a 50 by 50 square block area, where you can go door to door and you can put your representative in Jefferson City. We need to be doing that. At the same time, though, we need to make that matter by working on this state sovereignty issue, because it doesn't matter if we put 100 Lampings and 100 Kurtmans and 100 Emerys in the state house, in the state chambers, if the federal government owns the whole damn program. It doesn't matter. So we need to stop worrying about Roy Blunt and Claire McCaskill and Billy Long and state representatives who get themselves elected so they can resign and put their own person in there, and quit worrying about those things and take back our state house at the same time that we stand up and say the state of Missouri owns you. You don't own us. Now, that's why I'm getting in favor of more and more this petition approach II constitutional amendment. I'm not saying I am not in favor of convention of the states, so don't get me wrong there. I'm on board for convention of the states. I was on board for convention of the states long before it was the in vogue thing to do. I've been preaching convention of the states for at least 7 or 8 years now. Article 5 and the need to put the federal government back in its box. But I'm really intrigued by this petition approach. And I'm still contending to this day that we need to use this approach for the three amendments we need. I'm not saying that if you come out of a convention of the states with a balanced budget amendment, that's a bad thing. Go ahead. Have it. You know? If you come out of the convention of the states with a term limits amendment, go ahead. Have it. I don't care. I'm saying that if you come out of a convention of states without repeal of the 17th Amendment and without a repeal of the 16th Amendment and without something akin to the state repeal amendment, you've failed. Because those three amendments will put the federal government back in the box it belongs in and return the power of the governing body of the United States of America back to the people by returning it back to their sovereign states. Do you see why when we say the state is sovereign? God, I get so many people who believe they're conservative. I get so many people who believe they're liberty-minded who jump down my throat when I say the sovereign state. I've been compared in the last week to Hitler and King George for saying that, yes, the state of Missouri can make a law that says you can't play your music at 150 decibels at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yes, the state of Missouri can make a law that says you can't own more than 10 rounds in a gun. The state of Missouri could make a law that says you can't own a gun. The state of Missouri is allowed constitutionally, and when I say constitutionally, I'm saying under the United States Constitution, to make a law that restricts your right to speech, that restricts your right to religion. The state of Missouri can do that under federal constitution, under the compact between the states that has no other significant purpose than to define and enclose the federal government. Now, the state of Missouri doesn't. The state of Missouri has a constitution that provides you a sovereign citizen of the sovereign state of Missouri, a compact between you and the other sovereign people of Missouri with all of the protections that you would seek. Now, that doesn't mean that the state of Missouri can't make a law that says you can't sit in your front yard naked as the little kids walk back and forth on their way to school. That doesn't mean that the state of Missouri can't make a law that says you can or can't use deadly force to defend yourself without trying to retreat. You know, that doesn't mean that the state of Missouri can or can't say that you can use deadly force to defend yourself without trying to retreat. But that is up not to the federal government and not even to the state government, except to the extent that the state government is sovereign as a result of the sovereignty of the people of the state of Missouri. There is such a tie, such a an unbreakable tie between the sovereignty of the individual and the sovereignty of the state of Missouri, that you have to understand the importance of state sovereignty. I don't like the idea, quite frankly, as a libertarian, that someone would say you can't get an abortion. I don't care what the restrictions are. I don't care what the conditions are. I don't believe that that is something the government should be doing. But if the sovereign people of the state of Missouri say it's so, one way or the other, I am not going to appeal that to the federal government because they have no power. They have no authority there. The state of Missouri and the people of the state of Missouri own that power. The state of Missouri can say to Missourians through a collective of the sovereign people, no city can have red light cameras. I want us back in a position where you don't go crying to the federal government for relief from the state of Missouri when they make that call one way or the other. We, a sovereign people, if we don't like what the state of Missouri has said about abortion or gay marriage or guns, we take over the state of Missouri through that process we've just discussed. Own the House of Representatives first. It's the easiest to get your hands back on. We whine and moan and complain about, and I want to elevate this just for illustration. We whine and moan and complain when Boehner and McConnell saying, well, we can't do anything, We only own one-third of one-half of one-third of whatever quote it is they use, one-sixth, basically, one-half of one-third of the government. Listen to me. If we, the sovereign people of the state of Missouri, own the House of Representatives, yes, one-half of the legislative body is not enough to pass good law. We pass too damn many laws anyway, okay? It is never enough to pass good law. You gotta have the okay of the other half. But by golly, it's enough to stop bad law. And that's what we need to do right now. Grab that House of Representatives as sovereign citizens of the state of Missouri, recognizing that the state needs to be made the top dog in day-to-day living rules. The state of Missouri makes the rules that affect your day-to-day life. And when you own your state, you make those rules. Some rules you're not going to like, but recognize the sovereignty of your state and fix it to your liking. Or live with it. I'm going to live with the gay thing either way. I don't give a shit. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to work real hard to see that gay people don't get to get married in the state of Missouri. I think it's a travesty. You know, I would work hard to see that Missouri doesn't have anything to do with marriage, period. I would work real hard to say that there's no licensing requirement to be married. I would work real hard to say that there's no tax benefit for being married or unmarried. I would work real hard to say that the state of Missouri, as a governing body, doesn't have a clue what marriage means or you know. Marriage is two people sitting down at the kitchen table saying, okay, here's the contract between us. And that's it. You know, if you're religious, then it's a church ceremony. It's a sacred thing done in the eyes of God that once put together, no man can take asunder, and it becomes that. But it's not a licensing procedure. I would work real hard for that. But if the sovereign people of the sovereign state of Missouri say otherwise, the last thing I'm going to do is betray my own principles by appealing to a government that is not supposed to have any damn thing to do with that to come down on my side. You know, we talk about all of this crud about how the federal government is tromping all over the states and tromping all over the people. And as soon as our state tries to pass a Second Amendment issue we go crying to the federal Constitution. We go crying to the Second Amendment. Bullshit. The Second Amendment doesn't have anything to do with it. If you believe in states' rights, if you believe in state sovereignty, if you believe in the sovereignty of you and your neighbor, don't go crying to an amendment that has no other purpose than to keep the damn federal government in its box. Don't go crying to that government to come down on your side against your state sovereignty. If you believe in the God-given rights, then exercise those rights through the unit of government that you own. If you believe in your sovereignty, then exercise that sovereignty through the level of rulemaking that you own. You don't own the federal government. It's a contract between the sovereign states. We're going to take a break. I'm going to take a long break because I'm going to go check on our guests and see if we even expect them anymore. So bear with us. Listen to a couple of cool messages, and we'll be back.
They told me that you had gone totally insane. And that your methods were unsound. Are my methods unsound? I didn't see any method at all.
Never invested as much in public education as we should have because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the household, then we start making better investments.
Thank you. Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@missourigrassrootscoalition.org for details.
I did get a voicemail wait, after the show. He's out. Gave me a number to call him, which I tried and got a recording. So I don't know if he'll get with us tonight. The last thing I have from Mike Moon is a text that says he will get with us probably during the second hour. So, listen, callers, weigh in on everything we've talked about, 347-677-1835. I'm fully confident that Mike will be along here in a bit and share some of his time with us. And we may or may not see Lloyd tonight. If you've been on the show when Lloyd's on, once he gets to talking, I mean, if he's out there on the campaign trail, once he gets to talking, it could be midnight or 1 o'clock before he even realizes that anybody else in the world, besides the little crowd he's with at that particular moment exists. So we may or may not hear from Lloyd tonight, and I've full confidence that we're going to hear from Mike Moon. Listen, Sebelius has resigned, and man alive, is she being played up as having done great things now by the liberal media, right? Hey, look, she's finally got these numbers rolling. She's resigned without being forced by the administration, according to the press. Because she thinks that now that she's got Obamacare rolling real well, 7 million, 7 out of the 300 million people in the United States have signed up for Obamacare. Did you realize that? And now that she's got that rolling along real well, then it would be better served if she let that program be taken over by someone who doesn't draw as much political fire. She's gone. The next person who needs to go is Eric Holder. Meanwhile, Holder's Black Hawk helicopters circle around the head of Clive Bundy. Did you know that the federal government owns 81% of the land in the state of Nevada? That's incredible. I didn't realize that. I'm going to have to study that up a bit. I read that just before the show started, and we're going to talk about that a little bit maybe tomorrow. Listen, give us a call at 347-677-1835 about anything we've talked about since the show started or about anything you'd like to talk about while we're waiting for our guests. I'd be glad to entertain any topic of discussion you want to get into, 347-677-1835, specifically about this convention of the states, specifically about the articles of impeachment against Governor Nixon, or specifically about the state repeal amendment, the repeal of the 17th Amendment, the repeal of the 16th Amendment, all things that we need to do, but generally about anything that that comes into your mind. We're throwing it open because our guests are running a little late. I've had my my say of everything to do with everything that, well, with the most important things that I care about. And you've gracefully, all of you have, I'm sitting here looking at the numbers. We have an extremely large crowd tonight, and I'm really sorry about the thing. I did not come prepared to talk for 2 hours because I fully expected, as I was prepping what little bit I did today, to have some guests. I should, you know, I got burned like this once about a year ago. No, more than that. 2 years ago when we were in the 2012 election cycle when I had three guests and a debate scheduled and only one of the guests showed up. The other two didn't, and I had come ill prepared until tonight. Until tonight, I always come to any show, whether I have guests or not, prepared to take the reins in case nobody shows, and I didn't do that tonight. Listen, Missouri Grassroots Coalition is a nonprofit group. We're a money losing group, is what we are. We don't collect money for anything we do. When we need, you know, when we need a bunch of flyers or a bunch of buttons, or when we need to pay for this radio airtime, or when we need to pay for our website or our site hosting, one in particular, and frequently more than one, frequently will pitch in. And the members of the executive committee of the governing board of MGC will just pay the bill. We'll buy paper, we'll print pamphlets, we'll go to a printer, we'll buy some buttons, we pay for the airtime. There's five of us. I don't say that in beating my chest or anything like that. I do say that in that we're not a 501c3. We don't collect money. We don't do anything except the Secret Santa. We do the Secret Santa every year. We've done it every year faithfully since the year of our founding. And we start collecting for the Secret Santa in February, after Christmas, and we collect all year long. And the reason we do that is just one reason. It's so hard for us to come and collect money, to beg you for money. We'll do it. I mean, believe me, in October, November, and December, we'll be begging hard for every last dime we can get out of you for Secret Santa. But we know it's hard for you. It's hard for us to collect money at that time of the year. And we know it's hard for you to give at that time of the year. You know, you got your red kettles, you got your Secret Santas, you've got your angel trees, you've got your own family, you've got your Toys for Tots, you've got your church offerings. You've got it all going on right there at that time of the year. And although we're sure your boss gave you a big fat Christmas bonus, you've got designs on every dime of that. So what we do is, you know, along in February, March, April, May, June, when you might have an extra $5 or $10 or $50 or $100 or $500 floating around, we ask you at that time to go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Just send us when it's not as hard, every dime, I fall back to this, to this thing where we buy the buttons, we buy the paper, we buy the ink, we buy the pamphlets. And when I say we, I mean personally, we on the executive committee. And I repeat that just so you'll understand that every dime you send to Secret Santa goes to Secret Santa. There is zero overhead in the Secret Santa program. We don't pay for advertising. This is all the advertising we do and a little bit on the Facebook page. We don't pay for disbursement. We don't pay a treasurer. Every dime that goes to the Secret Santa Fund goes to Secret Santas. Okay, so it's MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. It's the Secret Santa button. Click on it and use PayPal to give us a dollar or two. $10, $200, whatever you can afford. And then come back in July or August when you get an extra 10 bucks. You'll hear us begging for it then too. Every Friday and Saturday night, we're here with this program, with exciting guests, with talk and education about state sovereignty, with another attempt to try to get you to understand the link between your own sovereignty, between the sovereignty between you and your creator, and the sovereignty of the state of Missouri, and how that fits into the 50 sovereign units that own the federal government and that use that cooperative for specific things, for specific purposes, and that contained that cooperative within that fence, theoretically. But we're not the only people on Missouri Grassroots Radio, you and me. On Tuesday night, every week, Cynthia Davis comes along with Homefront. Cynthia has very interesting guests. Unfortunately, she doesn't post that enough in it. I would love to be able to, one of these days on Friday and Saturday, tell you who's coming up on Tuesday. But It should be on me to communicate with Cynthia and see who that's going to be. I'll try to do that from now on because I'd really like to be able to tell you who's coming up. But I'm going to tell you, whoever it is, it's exciting. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if Cynthia Davis doesn't have an interview with Clive Bundy going on Tuesday night. I mean, she's that well-known. She's that well-liked. She draws in the big names. And her show is less aggressive than mine. I don't mean to say it's less opinionated by any means. If you know Cynthia Davis, you know better than that. And I don't mean to say it's less poignant and on point. But she's not going to get up there and yell and scream and preach and cuss at you like I do. She's going to get timely guests talking about timely subjects that have to do with the attack on the family structure, the family unit, the attacks on the individual by progressives, and how the progressives are trying hard to beat you and me and your family down, and how to defend against that. And then on Wednesday night, Lisa Payne Nager comes along. If anyone is more opinionated than me, but a little less caustic, that's Lisa Payne Nager. She gets good guests, a little bit different format. Bam, 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 3-4 guests in a 2-hour period, with short, concise, almost newsy, topics. I would call, Lisa more newsy, more breaking news, more pinpoint, and I would call Cynthia more educational, more expanded, more in-depth, check out Tuesday and Wednesday show. You'll love them both. But it's such a good variety coming back to back there in the middle of the week on Tuesday and Wednesday, the Cynthia and Lisa. Tuesday and Wednesday, 7 o'clock, both ladies, Missouri Grassroots Radio, right here on Blog Talk. And then don't miss us again next Friday and Saturday night. We'll be following things as the week goes on. And we'll be defining those things. I'm going to do a lot of research and study this week on the Bundy issue, and we're going to tie that right into the sovereignty of the state. We're going to talk about lessons learned. We're going to talk about how that should have gone and how badly it could have gone. And we're going to discuss more and more and more ways that you, the sovereign Missourian, can keep that from happening to you. So failing to get a caller who wants to talk to us in the next 10 or 15 minutes, we're going to go ahead and give up on Mike and Lloyd for tonight and move on out, because I am so ill prepared for something like this. So if you want to talk about something, and there's a lot of listeners out there tonight, I am amazed, and I am so sorry to disappoint you. Keep up with our Facebook page, and I will let you know when we can get Lloyd and Mike back. Lloyd is exceptionally busy. He's into this Missouri sales tax thing, this misguided thing of his where he believes that income tax is the way to go and sales tax should be eliminated, which is just the opposite of the way it should be. But he's very busy with that, and then he's very busy with this SRA, and then he's very busy with some local races. Mike is very busy with his own race. He's out there, and if you're down there in Lawrence County, you need to be out there looking at him. You need to be out there working for him. You need to be out there because things have gotten rather heated. The Republican Party itself is Ted Cruzing him, if you know what I mean, down there. And so Mike needs your help if you're in Lawrence County. He can use your help if you're not in Lawrence County. Go to Vote Mike Moon. Good grief. Google it, Mike Moon, U.S. or Missouri House of Representatives, and find his page and send him a couple of bucks if you can do it. At least send him some words of encouragement. What a good constitutionalist Mike is, and what a blessing to have a guy like him in Jefferson City representing you and me and the people of Lawrence County. So he's out busy working on that. I don't fault either one of these guys for not being here, and I hope it doesn't sound like I do. But it's my fault that I didn't come prepared for something like this to come up, especially at this time of the year when you've got two very, very, very busy and very, very active guests like that. I should have counted on sooner or later something like this happening, but I didn't. And so I'm ill-prepared. I've had my say for tonight. If you want your say, you've got about till the end of this next break to get it in. One of you people are starting to fall off now because I'm starting to drag. But here we go. We're going to take our last break. Break is going to define that Secret Santa thing for you, so hold on for that. Keep your pencils and paper ready, and then we'll come back. We'll do a quick thanks to everyone.
You go fast and wrong for right and right for wrong. People only stand for that for just so long. I don't have the gift of the prophecy. We'll be right back.
not pop, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
You better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is...
Come the archer, come the infantry, come the archer of hell. This is why we fight, why we...
Okay, 347-677-1835. 347-677-1835. You got about 4 minutes before the last music starts. Listen up. Stay tuned. Please stay tuned to the Facebook page, to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, to the Twitters. You can follow me at David Court. You can email me at davidcourt@missourigrassrootscoalition.org. You can follow me at David Court on Facebook. You can follow all of us at Missouri Grassroots Coalition on Facebook, Missouri Grassroots Coalition Twitter. But stay up with something, because I'm going to be getting a hold of Mike and Lloyd, I'm sure. I'm sure they'll get a hold of me. I'm getting apologies here in the tweets and in the texts even now as we speak. So stay tuned. I'll try to get them back tomorrow night. And I'll let you know when we can get them back. We'll be talking about those very, very, very important things going on out there in Jefferson City. So until tomorrow then, thank you for listening. I've enjoyed talking with you and to you, and have a great night.
There are so many contradictions in all these messages we send. How do I get out of here? Where do I fit in? Though the